So if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me over there to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. I want to talk today on the testimony of faith. I want to share about what it means to live by faith. I want to be able to share into your life faith defined, faith's testimony, and faith's purpose. I want to take us on a journey for today and maybe for the next few weeks. And the reason I use the word maybe is because I'm not sure how long we'll go with this. We may go all the way into December and through into the new year on the subject of faith. God knows His people need faith, active faith in their life. Not just a faith, oh, I have faith, but it's not active. A godly faith. And the book of Hebrews is a great testimony in this chapter 11 of what it took for men and women to have faith and for God to do works through them. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. Now, if you read Hebrews 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. There's a definition here that we would look at in faith, but we're really looking at faith as its process, not defined. We're looking at what faith does for you and I in our life when we live for God. The Bible declares to us that we are saved by grace through faith. How many in here today actually believe that you're a Christian? That you know you're going to go to heaven? You know that. If there's no questions about it in your mind that you are a Christian and you're going to go to heaven. You have faith. You believe that. You've never seen heaven. You've never seen Jesus. You've never seen God. You felt the presence of God. You've prayed in Jesus' name. You have witnessed the answers to prayers in your life. You have faith that the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you and amongst you. You have faith that there is a God who has healed you. Actually, how many people believe in here that you've been healed by God? You see, faith is a big part of our walk with God. It's a big part of our responsibility, an act of faith, a believing faith. You see, faith is a gift that is given to each Christian, and it's one of the most dynamic gifts that we'll ever receive. It's a tool in our Christian toolbox that allows us to accomplish things that we wouldn't be able to accomplish without faith. If you have a dream today, I mean a real dream, to become someone, to do something more than you're doing now, to accomplish things that are literally, seemingly and senseless to even think about because they are impossible to accomplish by the senses. But you have faith that God will accomplish those things through you, and that you will see the purpose of your life and the dynamics of who you are in the application of God's purpose through His Word in your life to see exactly what needs to get done, and it gets done because of your faith in God. That you have a dream. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can have a dream. You can believe God for something spectacular. You can be in the sanctuary today, and you can be a very successful person right now. You have a dream, and you can have a successful dream on top of a successful dream and another dream on top of that. You're very successful. Or you could be in the sanctuary today and you have lost everything. You've lost everything that you could possibly think of losing. You don't even like to think about it because it hurts. The memories are painful. But you have faith. And that's what God wants you to put your foundation on, is His Word, that His Word will bring it to pass, and you will get back that which you have lost. You'll have more than what you lost. You will be that person once again. The devil, who is opposite of faith, the doubter, the one who wants you to doubt, would rather have you sit down and give up and be depressed, discouraged, doubtful, and just satisfied with, well, this is all I have now, and so this is all I'm ever going to get. I once had it, but I made a mistake and I lost it, so now I'll never get it back. That's the devil's language. That's humanity's language also, that do not understand the reality of God's love and His Word actively involved in your life. God has given you a promise. God has called you into a ministry. God has said you are going to do something. And you're saying, well, I am not in the ministry and I'm not doing anything. That's just because you're allowing yourself to sit down too much instead of being active in what God has for you to become. See, God sees you complete. In our human nature, we see ourselves incomplete, unable, incapable, and the only way I'll get to where I need to get to is if somebody comes along my side and feels sorry for me. But God sees you totally complete in who you are in Him already. God sees you speaking the Word or teaching the Word or leading a ministry or pastoring a church or being some great individual that's bringing life to the lifeless and communities around you. Whatever it may be, God sees you complete. And I want to spend time explaining to you that this book called the Bible is full of stories where men and women who had faith saw literally the miraculous happen in their lives. They watched it being accomplished because they trusted God in His direction. They didn't just get satisfied for what little they had and sat there. They realized that they wanted to have more because God wanted them to have more. They wanted to be more because God wanted them to become more. And they wanted to share more because God wanted to give them more to share. And they didn't just sit down and get comfortable in what they have and say, okay, this is all I have now, so I'm okay. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that voice, because God has so much for you that He's going to bring somebody into your life that's going to be able to help you get out of that place that you're stuck in and move into a place of praise where you need to be in. God will send a Peter and a John coming by one day, and you're stuck at the gate and you're looking for someone to just put some small amount of money in your hand and then come and carry you back home so you can get a little food And Peter told him in the book of Acts, he said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, rise and be healed. And not only did he say the words, but he actively took out his hand and he grabbed the man's hand and he pulled him up. And when that man came up, he came up leaping. He was no longer stuck. And if you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, I've been this and this and I've been going through this and this and I've been going, stop testifying of what you've been going through and start testifying of what God's going to do.
Yes.
And how he's going to bring you into what he has for you. The devil will always try to intervene, always try to make you feel bad. His job in life, as we know it, is to discourage us, not encourage us, is to keep us stuck so we can't get any further. The reason that the enemy does this is because he is very wise, being that he once lived in heaven, that he was the worship leader of heaven, that he was the most beautiful angel ever created by God. He saw things and heard things, and he knows if we see those things and have faith in those things that we hear through God's spoken word, that we're going to be able to accomplish things that he will not be able to stop us. So he'd rather keep us stuck thinking we'll never have anything. We'll never become anything. You know, we can't afford this. We can't afford that. We can't have this. We can't have this. We can't put this into our life. We can't have tools in our life that'll help us because we just want to be stuck. We just want to say, I give up. We just want to sit down. It's our human nature. Say, I give up. I give in. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm telling you today, the battle is not yours in the first place. It's God's battle. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. What God wants you to do is have faith in his word. And if his word says you're going to do something, and if his word came to your life in prayer, if his word spoke to you and said, this is why I've chosen you, this is why you were born on this earth, this is the purpose you have in your life, if this is the reason, then let me tell you something right now. It's going to happen. God's just waiting for you to get actively involved with his word. Reach into that toolbox, reach into that tool bag, and pull out the tool of faith and start believing for God to do the miracle that he's called you to do in your life. He has equipped you to do something that's great. He has given you a heart sight, not an eyesight. The heart sight sees things being able to be done before they're even done, seeing things in the visible while they're even invisible. The eyesight sees things only what it sees physically. And it sees that this is impossible. It cannot happen. But the heart sight says God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen in my life. It's going to come about. You see, God begins to take what you thought was immeasurable, God begins by his word to begin to measure out your steps. He begins to take you down a journey, a path to where he is leading, and what may seem impossible, every step of the way becomes more possible because he's measured out your life. He's measured out your journey. He's waiting for you to either catch up with him or to believe him and start running with him. You shall mount up as wings of an eagle. You shall run and not faint. You shall walk and not become weary. Because you have waited upon the Lord. You have waited for God to do something. I think about the little widow woman who lost her husband who was a prophet. And there was debt. And yet she went to see a prophet, Elijah. And Elijah said, what do you want? What can I do for you? What do you want from me? She told him the story, and right away he told her to be active in faith. Go collect vessels. Bring them into the house and take them behind a closed door. And every empty vessel you bring in is going to be filled with oil. And the only reason the oil stopped is they stopped bringing vessels in. You see, God wants to never stop till you step off this planet. God will consistently fulfill you every day if you'll just believe. Oh, you could be sitting here today. Thing, I had a promise once and it's done. I'll never get there. I've gotten older, or I lost, and I made mistakes, and I'll just never get there before. Stop listening to the devil. Again, start believing that what you once had will be yours again. It doesn't matter how old you've gotten. It doesn't matter. Look at Sarah laughed at God, but yet she birthed Isaac. Abraham was as good as dead. In other words, he was incapable of making another child. But it was his seed that God promised would be like the stars in the sky and the sand at the sea. And Isaac came. He believed God for something so impossible, he was old. And it didn't come right away when the promise was given. It took 25 years for that to come about. He never gave up. He believed so much that even when God said, go to Mount Moriah and take Isaac, your only son, up there and sacrifice him to me, he never questioned it. He took him there. And when he raised up that knife to slay him, the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you believe. And the whole time, he couldn't see it. The ram was in the thicket. I'm telling you, there's some folks in this house this morning. Your ram is in the thicket. You just got to start believing God for your promise. Put your knife down. Stop. Let God do something in your life that he said he's going to do. You know what changes a Christian? In seeing an act of faith, a Christian's attitude. Christians, I tell you the truth. If there was a recipe for bad attitude, a Christian would offer it. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm not saying something degrading or trying to press down. I'm just trying to tell you, Christians, we should have the greatest attitude because we're saved. We're dreamers. We believe God that we're going to be healed. We believe God for everything that we have in our life. God is going to come in. God is going to bless us. And the only thing that I challenge you on this morning is, how come you can believe that you have been healed? How come you believe you're saved, but when it comes to the personal promise of your life, you're sad about it? How come you don't have that same excitement about your personal promise? When God saved me, he called me to preach. I went to the Bible bookstore, got a Bible, because I was called to preach. I grabbed that Bible. I bought an expensive Bible, $75 Ryrie Study Bible. Black leather and a gold trim. It had two ribbons, not one. I was excited about that, and I grabbed that Bible, and I went right to Pastor Pagan's door. I pounded on his door. He opened up the door, and I said, okay, I got my Bible. When do I preach? I wasn't going to let that go away. Praise God. You see, I believe God. I believe God for healing. I believe God healed me. I believe God has saved me. I believe God has promised me. God has spoken things in my life 30 years ago that have not come about yet. But I am not stuck. I'm actively working towards what God has promised. Praise God. And I'm not going to let anything get in my way. And what I may think I can't afford, he can afford. Amen. Hallelujah. He can bring it to pass. He can make it happen. He can do it because he is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. And the Bible says that he in Ephesians 3:20, that he is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that I ask or think according to the power that works within me. That dunamis power within me, that faith power, is the Holy Spirit of the living God. And that's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, who just lights that dynamite in me, who sets it off in me. I can accomplish anything through Christ. I'm not stuck. I have faith. This whole building was done in faith. This whole remodel's been done in faith. My goodness. We could have just left it alone. We could have just left it the way it was. Just could have been there. Everybody could have just let it be there. But God wanted change. And when the faith started, God provided for the change. You got to start to show God you're in. Amen. Well, I'll get started when I see God do something. No! Get started, then watch God do something. Believe God for what your need is and watch God provide for that need. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. You see, the Bible says that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Some folks, they just like to be sick. I'm sick. Don't touch me. You know, if I'm sick, I want all the prayers of the saints that I can possibly get. Don't dab me with oil. Pour a whole bucket on me. Whatever it takes, I want to be healed. I don't like to be sick. Praise God. And I don't believe God wants me to be sick. At all. And I just believe God for healing. I believe God for provision. I believe God for food. I believe God for water. Amen. I know that I bring up Santa Cruz every once in a while to you, but do you know that God has provided for 12 full years down there? Miraculously. We've never asked the city for a penny. We've never asked the shelter for a penny. We've never asked anybody for any money there in that city at all. I know the mayor. He's a friend of mine. He just emailed me the other day and said thank you to me for some stuff. And I know the town council members. I know the business members. I know the leadership of that city. I have never said to them, like most ministries have there, can I have a budget of $6,000 to $10,000 a year to come out of the city budget? No, I went over their head. I went over their head and I said, God, I need a budget for Santa Cruz. And it's never, ever been without. Ever. Faith. Faith speaks loudly that there is something more in life than just sitting there. There's a convincing proof that God is going to do something in our life. There's a marvelous reaction of the soul towards God. It changes our attitude. I believe if people had more faith, they'd come into church with a better attitude. They'd be happy. I'm saved. I know this next word's going to scare some of you, but I'm sanctified. That means I'm not in the world to be like the world. I'm in the world to share God to the world. Amen. Faith will have you have a fear of God. We're living in a world today where there's no fear. People don't fear God. I can't believe how Christians act. Yes, I'm saved. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden out of their mouth comes nasty language. Dirty jokes.
alcohol, racism, hatred, gossip, seeds of discord. There's no fear of God. Almost to a point of witchcraft. Instead of moving in faith and believing God for everything in your life. Walking and living in an alive faith, not a dead faith, but a faith that says, you know what? Get behind me, devil. Because I am going to walk in my promise, and I am going to walk underneath the pinions of the wings of the Almighty God. And by the way, Psalm 91 says he blesses you coming in and going out. Psalm 121 says he blesses you coming in and going out. Psalm 91 says that thousands will fall to your left and to your right. Psalm 91 says you won't dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 21 says that he will keep pestilence from coming into your dwelling. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will be there with you at all times. Psalm 121 says that he never sleeps nor slumbers. I don't know too many people like that, because God's not a people. He is God. Amen. And he is always there, and he will heal you. Oh, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who healeth all my diseases, who forgives me of all my iniquities. Oh, someone shout, I may skip in a minute. I'm getting pretty happy right now, knowing that the promises of God are alive and are real, and it's a word of faith to our life to take hold of the Bible and say, even though my marriage may not look good, God is going to make it good. Even though my household may not be living right, God is going to move in and he's going to make it right. Oh, praise God. God is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. And I've invited him to sit on all the thrones of my heart. Praise God. And Deuteronomy 28 says, if I will obey him, I will not be the tail, but I will be the head. And in modern day language, all my provisions will be there. There may not be a cow in the cupboard, but there'll be some cookies and cream in the icebox. Amen. My barns are going to be overflowing, the Bible says. I may not have a barn, but I got a bank account. Praise God. We've got to believe God for what it is. And you know, here at this church, we need to start believing God for big things. For the things that will make a difference, not just inside our sanctuary. Let's go beyond the things that will make a difference in this neighborhood. Things that will make a difference in our families that aren't even here in this area. Things that will make a difference on our job when we go there as a born-again believer and a Christian. That when I walk in there, I don't have to act like them to be accepted. I can come in like a Christian and know that I am saved and sanctified. And thirdly, full of the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. And I can walk with the Lord and I can talk with him and I can believe his credible truth. His credible truths that are alive in my life. I have a future because I have hope. Romans 5:5 says that hope never disappoints. I have a future because God has spoken to my life. Amen. I have a future because God has promised me an eternal life with Jesus Christ. I have a future that God says that he is going to walk with me. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. And he will fellowship with me in prayer. He listens. I know people that when I talk don't listen. I know people that talk to me and sometimes I act like I don't listen. I wasn't born last night nor yesterday. I understand my character and my personality.
walking as a pastor and having all the things you have to take care of. Yes, there are times where I'm staring, but I'm somewhere else. Somebody pinch me because I'm human. They got blood running through these veins, and I need to eat every once in a while, so I'm human. But God, who I am not, but whom I serve, He always listens. Always answers. Has always got you on His mind. Is always resident with you no matter where you go. That's who you need to have your faith in. Is a God that never fails. The Bible says that He's a bulwark that fails not. He's a surrounding force that will protect you against the onslaught of the armies of hell. I tell you, when Elijah was praying and his servant was worrying, God was actively responding to Elijah's prayers. He wasn't worrying about the worrying servant. Elijah had the angle. He told the servant, go back out there, stop worrying. I'm paraphrasing. Stop worrying, get back out there and look above those folks and see what you see on the hills. He came running back in. He says, there's more on the hills than there are on the armies. I wasn't there. You weren't there. But I'm sure Elijah said, duh. I've been activating my faith inside this hut. I've been speaking to God. I've been telling Him we're about to get attacked by three different kings. What are we going to do about it? And God just told me, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Bam! Angels appear all around them. Elijah walks out now, and those had all of the kings and the armies are blinded. And he leads them into where they're captured, and he goes away free. Somebody say, I need this kind of faith active in my life, because there are times where I feel everybody's coming against me and it gets me so. I want you to say this word with me. Pray.
Pray
when you're going through a struggle. Pray. Seek God. Talk to God and watch what He does in faith in your life. Faith is so powerful. It's not blind optimism. Faith. It's not like that at all. Faith is not a hope-so feeling. It's not a God-willing feeling. You know, I love that when people say, God willing, I'll be there. It's not that. Listen, if we're going to talk about the Lord, let's talk Scripture, okay? I'll be there. Amen. God's going to heal you. God willing, He'll heal me. God will heal you. When that little woman who was bleeding for 12 years, when she pressed through that crowd, she was not saying, if God willing. She was pressing through those people saying, Jesus will. Jesus will. Jesus will heal. Amen. How important that is that we know that we have a King and a Lord that will heal us in any time of our life, no matter what condition our condition is in, that He'll heal us. How about you? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about your healing? How do you feel about the goodness of your life and the mercy that God has given to you? How do you feel about your bodily structure right now? How do you feel about your spiritual strength right now? Well, let me tell you something. God feels good about you. God wants to do more for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to come into your life. And God wants to go beyond just a definition that we could make up. God wants to take you into His heart. He wants to take you into the very realm of His thoughts. He wants to show you the depth and how faith quenches the deep need for understanding of God. And it also comes into your life and it shows the mercy and justice and grace that He offers to your life as a believer. You're not saved if you're not a believer.
You got to live for God and you got to have faith. When God tells you to do something, do it. Even if it seems impossible, even if you can't afford it, do it. God will make it happen. When God took us from Geneva, Illinois, and called us to come back to California, we weren't coming back to pastoring a church. We were coming back to open a mission in Santa Cruz. I was coming to rent a house. Looked at several of them. And in those days, the houses were expensive in the rentals, especially in Santa Cruz County. We were looking to rent, doing all stuff, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to rent, I want you to buy. And I said, God, I don't have the down payment to buy, because we sold our house in Geneva, and all we had made off that house was $10,000. That's all. That's not a lot. When we went to sign the papers, God miraculously gave me revivals, and did all these things for us out of nowhere because we believed when we signed the papers. Now listen to this. I was only supposed to bring $41,000, but God blessed me so strongly that I had $52,000 in the bank for a down payment for a house, and I didn't have a job. Someone say, where's God now in my life? Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I sat down and I was ready to write a check for $41,000, and the broker said, you know what, you're going to need to write a check for $52,000. I said, praise God, I'm glad you told me that now. A week ago you were telling me it was $41,000, but I have a testimony to tell you. I got $52,000 exactly. And God provided for it. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. I'll tell you a story. 10 of that $52,000, the last 10 of that $52,000, the last 10,000 was written to me in the office that I now sit in. I was called up here to come up here to see the pastors, and I walked in to their office, and a young little couple was there by the name of the Motors. Just a young little couple. And the pastor was sitting behind his desk, and he handed me a check for $10,000. He said, God spoke to our hearts to give this to you. We don't know what your need is, but here it is. I thought, praise God, I'm going to have a little money in the bank now. I can live off of it and do more. God knew a week from then, I'm going to need $10,000 more. So it came right from the property where I'm preaching this message. Someone shout, I get the connection here. Amen. Faith. It's not intellectual assent to doctrine. It's a simple belief that God can do it. God sees your next week. God sees everything in your life. He's got this awesome way of doing this. He just does it. Faith states that I believe God no matter what. You can look at me like, oh, you're special, and you pray, and you fast, and all the other things. There, the Bible is very clear that God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. He wants the best for your life, and He wants to do miracles in your life. He wants to take your life and make it wonderful. Having a confident obedience in God's word, in spite of circumstances and consequences. There are some things in my life that I wish I would have did. But I didn't, because
I just couldn't conjure up that faith at that time. It just wasn't there. But faith is ever increasing. And as God is blessing, He's taking care of it. And as God is taking care of it, God is moving. God does that. God always takes care of you. He'll never stop thinking about you. I don't know how long you've been waiting to have your backyard covered, but God sent someone by to get it done. That's faith. I mean, you all look at me like, well, you know what? Come on now, let's not get this thing on a personal level. Faith is personal. It's part of our life, and it's what helps us to become who we are. I'm going to close because I'm going to pick this up next week. But I want to share this with you. Faith never defines itself as an emotional, and whimsical kind of wishful thinking. It's an inner conviction based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You and I want to grow in faith. The best way to grow in faith is to begin to walk with the faithful. And we can have that testimony. Like Paul said, I can do all things who strengthens me. Begin to hang around faithful people. People who have a solid foundation in God's Word. People who believe God for His Word. And not men for what they say about God's Word. Take the Word for what it says to you. And apply it to your life. And it's going to happen. No matter where you are this morning, no matter what's going on in your life today, believe God for every miracle, and God will bring it into your life.